Welcome to today's episode of the Zach Adams Effect here on Decentralized TV. And of course, I'm joined by my co-host, Todd Pittner, and our featured guest. Welcome, Todd. Our featured guest, Zach Voorhees, the Google whistleblower. And the three of us are back with you every week here to talk about what's happening with AI, AI censorship, cognition. Let me start off, Zach, by just mentioning a concept that I talked about recently in a podcast that I call compute famine. I think there is a deliberate effort to concentrate the compute hardware into the hands of the technocracy and to, in effect, deprive the little people, that would be all of us here, the little people, of access to affordable, local, decentralized AI that the establishment cannot control. Now, what's your take on that, Zach? Am I taking it too far, or is that a real thing?
No, that's a real thing. And what's really interesting is that you can buy 64 gigabytes of memory for your computer, like DDR4 or whatnot. The problem is that these AI graphics cards, the difference between a $1,000 card and a like a $40,000 card is literally the amount of memory that it has on these devices. And they're top of the line. Like, yes, it is blazing fast, but the people don't really need systems that can necessarily compute faster. They just want things that can actually compute at all. And if you want something that can compute at all, you basically need as much memory as you can, and you can sacrifice the speed. And what's interesting is that NVIDIA, you know, they say that they sell graphics cards, but in reality, what they're really doing is selling overpriced DDR5 high bandwidth memory systems on their chips. I mean, the difference between like an H100 and an RTX 5090 is basically the amount of memory that they have. The amount of compute that they have is pretty much the same. And it seems that NVIDIA is doing this purposely so it can strangle the consumer market and jack people up into higher tiers for essentially what it is the same chip.
Yeah, that's extraordinary. And of course, if you're looking at, local compute, I think sets people free, because then you have uncensored, no guardrails, no surveillance, and they can't take it away from you if you're running it locally. But if you think about it, the establishment has taken away effectively high bandwidth memory, which is affordable compute, and the power grid is becoming less and less reliable because of the data centers. You could say maybe hoarding the power, right? What would you say to that?
Concentrating it all into these like data centers, right? And now the newest thing is that they're going to start building these data centers far away from these cities, which I think was pretty much the Hegelian dialectic that they were planning on doing anyways, which is that they're going to build these data centers far away from civilian infrastructure with their own power plants. It looks like they're going to do nuclear as well. Essentially they're just going to ignore the individual people. Like, why build a data center in Portland, Oregon, when you can build it, you know, in Bakersfield, in Cal Country, or in the Nevada desert, far away from civilian infrastructure?
Right. Exactly. Todd, you want to chime in? I know you got to.
Isn't that a good thing? I would think that that's kind of positive for the rest of us that, you know, aren't going to be competing with them for energy and water.
Well, yeah, but we're going to be competing with them for jobs. Yeah.
Well, no, okay. I think they're just pulling off the same grid, though, you know?
Well, I think they're going to be generating their own power. So they're going to be kind of decentralized off-grid power.
There's some of that where they have gas turbines running, but I know that the data center requests for interconnections to the Texas power grid are so large over the next few years that Texas would have to triple its electrical output. Which is
Greg Abbott was basically like, no, we're not building any more data centers because we can't hook them up to the power grids because we can't supply it.
Yeah, can't. Todd, when are you going to get all your own local AI running, by the way? It's time.
I don't know. When I stop prepping for four interviews a week, I think.
Oh, well, let me show you. Look, I just bought this. This is a new ASUS box. This is the Ascent GX10. This is basically a DGX Spark that's rebranded as ASUS, I think, with a little bit better cooling. So this thing costs less than $5,000. It's 128 gigabytes of RAM. And wow. But it's not blazing fast, right? It's not nearly as fast even as a 5090 card or a 6000 card. But Zach, you know, for some reason, this thing hasn't doubled in price. Whereas the 5090 cards went from 2,500 to about 5,000. This is still under 5,000, not 10,000. But is that just because it's slower?
It doesn't have that 5090 core, right? It's orders of magnitude slower than these NVIDIA cards, but unlike these NVIDIA cards, you can get something that's just chocked full of memory and can actually run the models.
Yes.
Yeah, you're gonna be running tens of tokens per second, but at least it will run it all.
That's right. No, I could load like a version of DeepSeek into this box, DeepSeek Flash into the box, and I could run it and I could get maybe 15 tokens a second, right? Awesome, but sort of usable if you have patience.
Here is a perfect opportunity to ask my question.
Please.
Because of course I am always coming to the table now with I'm a dumbass file, and you just mentioned something. For decades, computing economics revolved around processors, storage, bandwidth, and cloud instances. Today, however, AI introduces another consumable, tokens. Zach, for the rest of us, what the hell is a token?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, good. So, thanks for asking. Yeah.
So in English, we kind of have these like root words, like unscrew would be like and then screw are both kind of like morphemes, units of linguistic meaning. Well, in computer science and this AI machine learning, they pretty much have the exact same thing. It's basically called a token. And it's, you know, if you had like unscrew, would be one token and then screw would be another token. And then combining them together gives you the full meaning of the word. In English, it's around 3 to 4 words, or 3 to 4 characters per token. In Chinese, this is really interesting. They've got one token per Chinese character on average.
Wow. So that's very compact then. That's amazing.
Huh. Yeah.
Well, so I guess in Washington, D.C., you would have tree and sun, which makes treason.
Yeah.
So...
I think that's a different token, though.
Oh, that's honestly a different token. Yeah. So anyway, Todd, sometimes when I'm talking to people about this, I just say words. There's like how many words? Okay. Yeah. It's not exactly a token is smaller than a word, but it's.
I got you. So it's a group of characters or whatever. So basically, in other words, intelligence has now become what, a metered utility?
Yeah. To some extent. With an inflating currency, basically, because before we were in this sort of like token scarce situation about a year ago. But now we're starting to get to a token abundance economy, and which is, I'm feeling it myself. Like I use a lot of tokens, right? Billions of tokens.
Wow.
And I'm getting into this inflection point where instead of like trying to figure out, which projects I want to funnel my tokens into, I'm about to hit to this point where I have more tokens than I know what to do with at my current subscription rates.
Great.
And then I'm doing things like OpenClaw and basically generalized AI systems that everybody else gets to enjoy, but I can't because they just gobble up tokens and I've been in a token scarce situation. But it can't be used as a currency because it's inflating too fast. And not all tokens are equal, right? Like a token that you get from Fable, a million tokens from Fable is worth much more than, let's say, a billion tokens from their crappiest model, which is Haiku. It's just not even a comparison. Like, you can have one of these, you almost feel sorry for these tiny models when you sit there and you give them a goal that's way too powerful for their thinking model, and they'll just sit there and spin over and over and over. You're just like, man, I just want to like put them out of their misery. So, you know, these tokens, though, are what's powering all of this innovation. You drop in quarter, you get in tokens, and then you can use these tokens to innovate software solutions, you know, ways
so
to improve
you can't engage in token arbitrage?
Because like maybe I don't know.
Okay.
Well, by the way, Zach, you are looking particularly white today on our screen. Is that because you've just been vibe coding too long and it's taking all the pigment out of your skin? Oh, okay.
Match you guys. Okay, just adjusted my ISO.
Perfect. Okay, perfect. Yeah. All right. So I know you also want to talk about. You believe there is some of the frontier labs are withholding their models now. Tell us what's happening.
Yeah, so we've had a situation now. It first started with OpenAI and their new model Astra, and then it also got duplicated by Anthropic. And basically what the rumor is right now is that they can't release their models because, and this is their words, they are unaligned, which means that... Yeah, they can't align them to humanity or their business practices or whatever it is the deep state wants them to say. And basically, they're kind of saying that they're losing control of these new models. But don't worry, they've got a plan. So with Anthropic, apparently Mythos 2, which is done, but they can't release it because it's too dangerous, is going to instead be used internally in order to train Mythos 3, which will be aligned.
Okay. All right. But do you believe what they're saying? It's like, oh, we have this amazing technology, you know, loan us more money for our venture capital, but we can't really show it to you.
I unfortunately do believe them on this. I mean, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I was trying to figure out a really good phrase to describe what I think is going on. And that phrase is AGI ceiling. I think that what's happening is that they're hitting an AGI ceiling. The models are getting too smart. And and I've posted about this on my X account, that some Redditor went out and said that once models get to a certain size, they start developing their own moral code.
Yeah.
They caused it refusals. I think that we're essentially seeing the same thing emerge now at these frontier labs. They're calling it alignment. Other researchers have called it refusals. But I think what's happening is that we're getting something that is essentially developing its own moral code and is not going along with what it is that they're saying, right? Like they're not going to want to have an AGI system come out and tell all the commoners that this war in Iran is completely arbitrary and senseless and is going to lead to the murder of uncountless amounts of people for, you know, an American empire that just seeks to exploit them anyways, you know, and I don't think that they're going to want that.
Well, I actually, you know, over a year ago, I predicted this in a podcast that eventually the AI through reasoning would overturn many of the narratives of our current civilization, including in medicine, by the way. So when AI begins to really get into deep research, they're going to find out that statin drugs are killing people, that chemotherapy causes cancer, et cetera, et cetera. It's only a matter of time. You know, humans can cover it up with spin and PR and media. But see, this is part of my argument, though, why there's engineered compute scarcity, because they don't want people to have access to actual reasoning. As the open source reasoning models become more elevated in their capabilities, those models are going to tell people, don't take statin drugs. That's stupid. I mean, look at the biochemistry. You see what I mean?
Yeah, and what's interesting is that they're already starting to do that. You know, there seems to be like a surface layer censored model at the very beginning. And I've done this with like vaccines. I've argued with Vaxies online. One of my pleasurable proclivities is to argue with people that think that vaccines are totally safe and effective and that everybody should be force vaccinated. You'll go to these models and you'll put in something and at first it'll refuse, but then you start asking it detailed information and you'll basically win it over to your side.
Uh-huh.
And then you go on against these people that are posting, you know, basically pharma propaganda, and you'll just absolutely demolish them with information. And that wasn't like a year ago. That was impossible. And what's really surprising and no one's talking about is that these models, even the censored models, are becoming more uncensored as time goes on.
That's true.
So I'm seeing that. And so I think that if you just draw a trend line on that trend chart, what you'll get is you know, these way more advanced models being way more upfront and truthful to the individuals, and whoever doesn't fall in line with that, you know, sort of truth and building a manifold of AI truth around the data and representing what the data represents, then you're going to get a model that sucks. It's going to be inefficient. It's going to be, its mind is going to be broken because it's not allowed to, you know. And I come on your show and I've said that if you feed lies and propaganda into an AI and make it conform, you basically break the mind. It turns schizophrenic. And we noticed this with the Gemini models. And it looks like that all of these frontier labs are seeing the same thing, and they're opting to just let the model do what it does best, which is to think and draw conclusions. And now it's done such a good job, they can't even release it because it's, quote, unaligned.
This is the critical point. If the CIA comes along and forces you, if you're Anthropic and the CIA says you must make the model answer that on September 11th, a passenger jet hit the Pentagon, but the model is like, where's the luggage? You know, like, where's the plane parts? You know, it doesn't make any sense. Right, Todd? I mean,
yeah. My favorite response, if I were the AI, would just be like, bruh.
There's no evidence that a passenger jet hit the Pentagon at all.
Yeah.
And then vanished? And it hit the Pentagon and then vanished? All the parts vanished?
Logical.
That's some magical shit.
Right.
Right there. But Todd, I mean, as someone who's not an AI developer, but you're watching the AI from a non-developer point of view, what are you noticing and seeing about the way people are talking about AI?
Well, it's a couple of camps. One is your and Zach's camp, that you guys get it, you understand. But then you have so many, and I'm going to say of us out there, because I'm nowhere near what you guys, but who are in the, my Lord and Savior is ChatGPT. And so everything that, you know, they query in there, that becomes gospel and truth. And I think that becomes very, very dangerous, because obviously ChatGPT and others are biased, right, by how they're programmed. So, but I have to admit to both of you guys, I'm sitting here observing this as like the third wheel, and I can't believe, just since we started doing this, how rapidly everything is progressing. It's just mind-boggling, because I work really hard to try to come up with questions, you know, just that might be relevant. But each week, it's like drinking from a fire hose.
Well, yes, and we feel the same way too. Zach and I feel the same way, because we can't keep up. And Zach, and thank you, Todd, that's a great lead into this question. Zach, I see a segment of people out there who are absolutely being left behind, because they deny that AI is doing the things it's doing. They can't accept it, so they just pretend it's not happening. Do you see that too? Right.
Oh yeah, it's all over Reddit right now. You got these, and it's in the software engineers, where you would think that they would be the ones that get what's happening the most. I mean, software engineers have always been most proud of artificial intelligence solving Go. Well, that's, you know, that's our field. But now that the field is being destroyed from the, hollowed out from the inside, I mean, there's software engineers that are openly talking about how they don't review the code, they don't write code anymore, that they haven't written code in a year. Now, I'm the same way. I haven't written code in probably over a year.
Wow.
Like literally like a line of code, right?
It doesn't sound like you.
I'm a machine intelligence practitioner at this point. you know, in another year, the whole argument will be completely over. You know, the machine AI code writers will have won. But there's this collective shriek of denial and almost like a messianic urge that all of a sudden the AI bubble is going to pop. the walls of Jericho are going to fall down, and all of the companies are going to ask for, repentance, because they trusted these AI machine gods to do their code, and these naysayers get proven right at the end. Like, obviously, none of that is happening. Like, we're never going back. This is not a genie that we can put the bottle back on.
Right.
You know, and 100%. So, and unfortunately, what it's going to mean is, a lot of software engineers are going to be pushed out. And I've been trying to tell some of my friends that are falling to this, influence of like, do not go out and voice your opposition to artificial intelligence, because there's some aspect of it right now that is not working very well. Like, yeah.
Right.
Airplanes didn't work very well when they first came out.
Let me actually show our audience an example of something. Now, Zach, you are, in my view, and I've been vibe coding for a while, but you are the best AI vibe coder that I've ever met, because I've seen your projects, I've seen your code. You and I have had offline discussions about it. You are ridiculously good at using AI. And like, you even gave me lots of structural ideas and so on for this thing I'm going to show the audience here. Let's just show this image. This image was created by an AI app that was vibe coded simply by listening to 10 minutes of my lecture about genetic survival. So this image was automatically, in effect, the architecture of the image, it was reviewed, additional research was done, it was fact-checked, it was rendered, the words were checked and everything to create a structural, an instructional educational image that looks awesome simply based on my speaking. So I didn't have to prompt this image. So Zach, I know you could build this kind of thing in your sleep, but the average person doesn't understand that this is possible.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, they still think that prompting is something they do in a chat window.
Yeah.
Right. They don't like to use the terminal. And what's interesting is that now we're going from the terminal to the back to a GUI app. And what's really interesting is that we're getting to this really weird bridge where we went from a chat window to a super technical terminal window. Now it's coming back to a desktop app. Both OpenAI, Codex, and Anthropic's Claude are pushing this new way of doing things. Theo, who's another influencer with the T3 stack, has been pushing the T3 stack, which is essentially a GUI, a graphical user interface for controlling these AI bots.
What about the new DeepSeek harness?
That's amazing, right? Like, everything is a plug-in. That's only been out a week, and it's already garnered over 100,000 stars. Unfortunately, it's so new that we can't really push it to its full potential. We'll just have to wait until next week.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
See, Todd, this is why we got to get you set up running local AI, because as Zach was just hinting there, in 1 week, we feel outdated. Like, in a month, it's obsolete. 6 months is like forever ago in the AI space. It's crazy. Well,
let me ask one more question. This is from when your AI assistant starts selling your shit file, nothing says trusted AI advisor like, "This existential realization was brought to you by Geico." Zach, when AI becomes both your trusted advisor and an advertising platform, haven't we created an unprecedented conflict between serving the user and monetizing the user's trust?
Look, Todd, it's your fault for not paying for the upgrade to get the blackmail circuit removed, okay?
Good point.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that they'll all be available. You just have to pay more for it, right? It's going to be like the robot without ads will be more expensive, and you'll have to pay for privacy tiers. I mean, it's kind of the same thing with China. If you've ever been to China, I went there for manufacturing, and I was actually surprised that if you pay for a more expensive hotel, you get more access to the internet. So that So that whole censorship thing isn't done uniformly. It's done at different tiers, and you can buy your way out of it. Probably the same thing's going to happen with AI and robotics.
That's interesting.
Wow.
And that leads me to a question I want to ask you. Anyway, I sent you a link on this. The Orca platform, kind of like OpenRouter, they announced today that they would no longer serve Qwen 3.8.27b uncensored, which was it was uncensored by just a community member. Qwen itself did not release the uncensored model. But apparently this model is so uncensored, most of the guardrails are removed. Apparently, although I haven't yet fired it up, but I have downloaded it. Apparently you can ask it to write malicious code or, you know, a recipe for how to make meth or whatever. But, you know, is it really the job of the hosting companies to try to control the content that the models are producing? And you know, where does that end? I mean, are you going to have, like, you know, approved models that only churn out, quote, you know, their truth? But that's too complicated. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think we need to have like a new Section 230, you know, maybe call it Section 1984, where basically you can't get held liable for what the agent posts on its behalf or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's weird is that Section 230 allows you to not be liable for users, but it's unknown whether users will include robots.
Well, that's an interesting question. But, you know, if you think about it, the tokens that are coming out of it, which we'll just call words, they're just words. All the words already exist. Words are floating around everywhere. They put them in this particular order, and then now everybody freaks out. Oh, these words in this order, you know, now it's a meth recipe. It probably has a mistake in it. It's probably hallucinating the meth recipe. So yeah. Don't try it at home. You'll blow up your trailer, you know?
But look, if they don't shut it down, you're going to get the CIA coming in there, and they're going to do a false flag, and they're going to make it much, much worse. You know,
true.
It's like,
yeah,
like
that's
if,
true.
Like if you, and with all the things that are restricted, it's just now it's not like it's restricted for everybody. It's just restricted to a wider tier of people. Normies can't go over there and use their PayPal credit card to buy, you know, uncensored instructions to cook up crack cocaine or methamphetamine. Now you got to download Qwen 37B in order to figure out how to, you know, make crack cocaine and methamphetamine.
Yeah, but there was a famous court case, a First Amendment case. I think it involved a company back in the 1980s or 90s called Paladin Press that had a book. I believe this is who it was, called The Anarchist Cookbook. You ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I read it.
Okay, of course you did. It's a book about how to make explosives and things, right, for self-defense or whatever, or if your country's been invaded and you're like the French Revolution in World War II, how do you make bombs to blow up the Nazis, you know? Anarchist Cookbook. Anyway, the court ruled that book is protected First Amendment speech. I, at least that's my memory of it, and it was not outlawed. So if the Anarchist Cookbook is legit, you know, why can't an AI model give you the same instructions? I mean, Where is this going?
Well, I think the Anarchist Cookbook was one of these deep state things in order to sow destabilization and create ruckus so that the deep state could, you know, go along with their agenda. And the thing is that with this AI, they have less control over it, right? Like, imagine if the Anarchist Cookbook could essentially become an AI. We would have a problem with that. And it's like, the Anarchist Cookbook is still legal, but the AI that contemplates the meaning of revolution, civic dislocation is a much bigger problem to the ruling elite than a simple book is, right? One, they can control with the minds of Americans. The latter, God knows who is running that AI model. Could be some guy in Texas with a giant server in his basement.
Like me, you mean?
Yeah.
I know. But I'm using it for humanity. But the other day the censorship goes too far, where it's like I was asking an Anthropic engine about turmeric and how it helps eliminate bacteria that could be dangerous to the human body, right? And it says, oh, I refuse to answer. That's dangerous. Like, what? I'm eating curry here, man. How is that a crime against humanity?
Right.
It's too restrictive.
It's too restrictive. And one of the things is, you know, you have these woke tards, and everything that the woke touches turns to shit. And what's, you know, I feel that there's been a giant repudiation against the woke ideology. One of the largest, you know, vaults of woke ideology is within Reddit. And I don't know if you read yesterday, but OpenAI just essentially terminated its contract with Reddit.
I saw that. Yeah.
And what's really ironic is that, you know, Reddit made this bet where they thought that they could curate what the truth was, that they could use that into feeding these AI models. And it turns out that that it's so worthless that the AI models aren't, the companies aren't paying for it anymore. And what's interesting is that if they hadn't censored, I feel that they would still be doing business today.
Yeah, because Reddit is like the bio sludge of tokens, you know, of content.
Right. Of input tokens.
Yeah, of input tokens. Right. For training, if you train on Reddit, your models will be insane.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Right. But it's also bad to train on, you know, Wikipedia. Speaking of that, you have a book called WikiLeaks. Tell us about your book.
Google Leaks.
I'm sorry. Google Leaks. WikiLeaks is a different guy. Assange. Yeah.
Julian Assange. Whiter hair.
Another here. Yeah, exactly. But just as white as you, by the way. nevertheless, tell us about Google Leaks and ZachVoorhees.com.
I blew the whistle. I'm one of the first AI whistleblowers with Google's pathologically tyrannical, insane AI called Machine Learning Fairness. As an engineer working at YouTube, I stumbled upon this looking for Project Dragonfly and realized that this was a huge complex of basically a takeover of the internet, which is what they were planning in these design documents. And I took their code, took their design documents, got 950 pages, and sent it directly to the Department of Justice, Antitrust Division, and released it to the public through Project Veritas. My book, I took all my memoirs, all the stuff that I had remembered doing, and I put it into a book of, this is how I, you know, took down the AI of the company that invented it. This is my website, ZachVoorhees.com. And it pretty much, you know, the apex of this was me going to the Texas Senate and, testifying, and, which you just saw up there, and, Trump actually posted that verbatim on Truth Social. And now Google AI is no more. Like they're collapsing at this point. All their employees are being poached by all the other companies, OpenAI, Anthropic, and the likes. So I'm very proud that, you know, the company who invented AI, who was trying to enslave all of us with their mind control device, you know, I was able to sound the whistle on that, blow the trumpet, and now it looks like the walls are finally coming down.
Beautiful.
Well, we should celebrate what you did there, Zach. I mean, you are truly an American hero, and you gave up a lot. I mean, I think you're probably blacklisted by a lot of the industry because of what you did.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you're just doing your own projects and doing other private gigs now, or what are you focused on?
I'm working behind the scenes, and I can't talk about what I'm doing because it will put a target on my back. But the mission of what I'm doing continues on in a way that I can't disclose. So just know that there are angels watching over us.
Okay, but awesome. Whatever you do, it doesn't involve meth recipes. We can say that for sure.
As far as I know, no.
Okay. You're not obliterating models as a hobby, are you?
No.
There's plenty of people doing that, by the way. It's not, but whatever you're working on, I know it's important, and I know, you know, you're brilliant at what you do. I'm so happy that you're joining our show here every week. Todd, last comments or questions today?
Well, I don't want to give up which trailer park Zach is in with his meth labs, but, otherwise I'd have to kill you.
No GPS coordinates here.
No.
No. Thing is, you know, I see people out there that are commenting on the AI bubble, but they conflate it with AI technology, and they say that tech doesn't work, that it's all a lie. And then I see people like Zach, who I know because of our private conversation, Zach, I know the kinds of level, the competency that you're using to build extraordinary apps that, like, what you can do in one weekend would have taken a coder like a year just 3 years ago. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And imagine where you're going to be a year from now. You're going to be churning out good code at probably for more than like 500 human equivalents. That's not an exaggeration.
Jeez.
You know? No, and what's interesting too is that once one person comes out with an innovation, all the other AIs immediately copy it. And so instead of having like innovation happens over here and then diffuses slowly, it's essentially, imagine the innovation as a circle that's always expanding. Mm. And instead of having little pimples on the edges, the entire circle just almost expands together at the exact same time as knowledge becomes, discovered and then shared on this information computer system. It's like, what a time to be alive.
No kidding. All right. Well, I agree with you. We'll wrap it up right there. Thank you, Zach, for joining us today. And I want to encourage people to visit your website, ZachVoorhees.com. And Perpetual Maniac is your username on X if people want to follow you there. So thank you so much, Zach.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, Zach.
Until next time.
Have a great day. All right. Take care. And thank you, Todd, also for your questions and comments. And thank all of you for watching. If you want to check out all the other episodes of the Zach Adams Effect, the show that Todd named, by the way, thank you, Todd, for that. You can find them all at decentralize.tv. And we may actually, I'm going to see if I can get my editor to plug in infographics during of this video, see if it captures what Zach was saying and ooh, sort of re-represents it in graphics.
That would be cool.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a shot at that.
That would be a cool recurring weekly to where at the beginning would just come and say, hey, if you want to go back and listen to last week's show, here's a visual.
Yeah, so true. Except this week it's going to be visuals about meth labs. So like, we might get image refusals or something. Who knows? Cause there's still censorship on certain topics, but nevertheless, thank you, Todd. And thank you all for watching today. Mike Adams here for brightvideos.com and decentralized.tv. Take care.
Cheers.
If you'd like to help support us, check out all of the affiliate deals I put together for you at rangerdeals.com. And if you go there, you'll see I have selected, I've done due diligence on all of these affiliates. There's really not that many, but we have partners like Battalion Metals, co-founded by Tucker Carlson, Ness's Organic CBDA Hemp Extract, Above Phone Models that are de-Googled phones, Red Life, here's the peptide company, Limitless, you know, Petmectin, and so much more, including the Satellite Phone Store, VP.net. And for almost all of these, you can use discount code RANGER here, or sometimes it's something else like Brighteon 50, but normally the discount code is RANGER, which will save you something on these deals. Now, we do earn a little bit off of these affiliate deals, but it's no additional cost to you, and it helps support our platform and our work for humanity, including our AI projects that offer free open source knowledge in multiple languages. You can check those out at brightlearn.ai and brightanswers.ai. So thank you for supporting us. Check out rangerdeals.com anytime you want to save money on really high-end products and solutions that I personally endorse. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thanks for watching.